do it, man.
Yes, sir. What's going on, good people? Welcome back to the 1 in 100 podcast. We are your hosts, the Chibata Boys. I'm the Magic Man. And as always, I got my brother from another with me. What up, K?
Hey, man. What is going on, man, this in the week of comics, Amir? Let's talk about that.
Man, yeah. It's been a pretty long week for some reason, like slow. But it was a lot of damn books coming out this week or came out this week. Not a lot of crazy news as far as comic book entertainment stuff goes, but we had some good ones. We had some good ones, man. But how's things going over there in Jersey, brother?
Everything's okay, man. Prepared for a wash of a weekend. It's supposed to rain all weekend. Shit, I mean, you guys are listening to it Saturday, so technically I'm in the rain right now.
In the future, yeah. I think we might be getting some rain soon, too. I think we might be getting some rain, too, because it's been like 108, 109, like, all week, bro. Like, I ain't never, that shit like hurt. 68
today, man.
Ooh. Yeah.
Like, it's technically, it's summer. And it is like not summer at all.
Right. That's what my dad said, like word for word right there, what you just said. He said the exact same thing. But yeah, that yesterday a breeze came through when I was walking to my car after work, bro. And it felt like I was in an air fryer. Like, I'm not even fronting, bro. I was like, ow, like what the, like, God damn.
Wait, so it was like a hot breeze?
Yeah, bro. Like,
what is that? I don't even know if I've ever experienced something like that. That's
the
weird.
Only time I experienced this before this was I went to Vegas when I was young. Like, I was a kid. And my family, like, I got some gamblers in my family. And they did, like, a family vacation to Las Vegas. And that was the first time I ever felt a hot breeze. Damn, son.
They took you on a vacation where you couldn't do shit.
I mean, I went to Circus. That was fun. You know what I'm saying? Because that was like, that's like a big, like Vegas theme park for the most part. Like, they got rides and stuff in there.
I heard that, like, outside of the strip, there ain't shit to do in the bottom,
Nah. It's really not.
And I mean, prostitution's legal. So besides fucking in the strip, I mean, what else are you going to be doing?
Yeah, and I saw a lot of flyers when I was like 9 years old. That was hilarious.
Wow.
That was me and my cousin had a good time on that trip. We was picking up all kinds of flyers.
Yeah, we're just picking up flyers, dancing.
Yeah, like, dang. Yeah, but
what a terrible vacation, bro.
Hey, I was a kid. I ain't know no better. You know what I'm saying? I was like, all right, whatever. We was there real talk. You want to hear something crazy? We was there.
Tell me you were there with Tupac.
We were there Mike Tyson's first fight back against the white dude that he fought.
Oh, okay. I thought you was about to say I was out there with Tupac got shot.
That was his first fight back. So Tupac went to the one after that, I believe. It was a couple fights after that Tupac went to, I believe. But that was Mike Tyson's first fight back. And my cousin was talking hella shit to the dude that he was going to fight in the pool. We was in the pool. My cousin was like, Mike Tyson's going to knock your head off.
Wow.
Memory that I will never forget.
And I'm pretty sure Mike Tyson did probably knock some.
Oh, yeah, he knocked that dude. Yeah, he knocked dude out in first round. It was quick.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, that's wild, bro. Yeah. I really thought you was about to say, y'all was out there with Tupac got shot.
Nah.
I'd be like, damn, yo, that's crazy.
We wasn't there for that event, but yeah. But good times, man. Good times. But yeah, said all that to say that if you go outside between like 11:30 p.m. to like 5:30 p.m., like, it's steaming outside. So drink your water, people. If you're here in Texas, drink your water. But let's get into this podcast, man. We got some quick hits. Off the top, we got Bad Bunny. He had a spinoff deal or movie. Over there with Sony, like a spinoff, like Spider-Man movie, where it was gonna be called El Moroto, if I'm saying that right. Basically, it's a story about a luchador wrestler that's like in the Spider-Man comics, but apparently they removed it from the calendar. So me and Kay were talking about this a little earlier. That doesn't mean that it's canceled, but we have no idea when we're going to get this movie now. Because yeah, what it means is, go ahead.
What it means is Bad Bunny about to drop an album. This nigga about to do another crazy tour around the world.
Yeah.
And they're like, yo, he don't got no time for that. I got to do something with WWE soon. SummerSlam coming up.
Right.
Son don't got the time. That's what it is, man. My Puerto Rican brethren does not have the time for it. Yeah. Man. I'm speaking for him right now.
And it, I mean, honestly, it probably would have sold pretty well. I mean, they probably would have made a couple dollars off of it. I don't know how much they would have spent on it, but they would have made a lot of money.
I don't know.
They would have made a lot of ciabatta. Sure,
listen, they would have made a lot of ciabatta just in Puerto Rico alone. They would have made all their ciabatta back.
Right.
And, yo, imagine the cups and shit out there, too. Like, come on, son. But, yeah, that's crazy, man. I mean, I remember when they announced that, and I thought that was pretty cool. I remember looking at eBay for the books. And I'm obviously not familiar with the character. The character, I mean, you know, in movie world, I mean, movie land, I mean, that's he's technically like a new character. He hasn't been in much. I mean,
right.
I mean, you know nothing about it. And you're, a Spider-Man guy for the most part. I mean,
yeah, I've never heard of this character ever. So it kind of made me wonder, like, who was asking for this? You know what I'm saying? Like, where was there a demand for this character, or they just felt like they had an audience that would go support the movie? Which is, I mean, that's business. That's business 101.
I mean, bro, this guy is the most streamed, you know, artist on the planet. I mean, in this day and age, I mean, bro, absolutely. Of course they're gonna throw him a movie and shit. I mean, he did do a movie, and that movie he did wasn't that bad.
Yeah, Bullet Train, right? I think it's called. I was about to say Tom Cruise, Brad Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That shit was cool. That shit was cool for the most part.
Yeah, so,
I don't think he was in it that long. I think he died like right away.
Does he speak English like at all? Like, or just a little bit?
No, he speaks English. Bro, oh, okay. he did the LeBron shit on HBO, the shop. He's on the Jay-Z episode.
Yeah, but was it like good English?
I mean, bro, he has an accent, but he's speaking good English.
Okay. So he could carry a movie for like an American movie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, bro, he spoke English. He spoke English in Bullet Train.
I didn't see it. I didn't see Bullet Train.
Like I said, bro, he sounds like a guy that, you know, English is a second language. I mean.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I'm like, maybe they were like, we need you to do a little bit more, like, you know, a little bit more studying or something, maybe. I don't know. I'm trying to think of why they would, because, they would definitely, that movie would make money. Like, there's people that would go out and see that movie just because Bad Bunny is that dude right now. So, and it's Sony Marvel movie. Like, come on now.
and not only that, bro, the guy can wrestle.
Yeah, and he would be playing a luchador. Yeah, so that's something that he has some skills in already.
Yeah, I mean, bro, he did the WWE training. Like, he mm-hmm. really took it serious. He didn't dial, like, I mean, as much as wrestling, you can't really dial it in. Right. You know what I'm saying? But, you know.
That Matt Hurts.
Yeah. They ain't taking that away. They can't take none of that other shit away. Mm-hmm. Like, throwing yourself at the floor, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, son, I mean, like, bro, I, with my own two eyes, saw him wrestle. And, I mean, was it good? Yeah. I mean, was it, like, were there points where, you know, he almost killed himself at a couple of points? Absolutely. Shit. Absolutely. He did a sliced bread. I don't know if you know what that is.
Nah, but it don't sound like it feels all good right,
so,
at all.
So, no. So, what it is, you know, you take your opponent, you run up the turnbuckles, mm-hmm. and when you get to the third turnbuckle, you flip. You're supposed to flip, and you kind of flip over. It's kind of like, almost like a stunner, kind of, in a way.
Okay.
But it starts off as a stunner, and then you know, the person's supposed to flip, and they're basically supposed to pull the person down. So he did all of that good, except that when he flipped, he landed on his head.
Oh my like god!
He did the thing, and where he was supposed to kind of like let go, I think he landed on his head. Fully landed on his head. Where I saw it live, and I was like, "Yo!" I was like, "I know that's gonna hurt." He's on hella adrenaline right now. Yeah. He's like, and he talked about it in an interview. He said he felt like he was gonna die at some point, but it was an ill match, though. Yeah, it's fucking incredible. I mean, yeah.
Well, we'll see. We'll keep our eyes and ears open to see if they come back around to it. But I was also wondering if the feedback for the Kraven the Hunter trailer kind of made Sony be like, all right, maybe we got too much reckless stuff on the table right now. And, you know, because that trailer came out and people were just like, what is happening right now?
I saw it right when you texted me earlier today when I got home, and I was like, let me watch this real quick. Threw it on, and by the end of it, I was like, the fuck is this shit? I was like, what is this piece of shit?
A lot of feelings were hurt watching this, because people have been actually kind of like really wanting to see this. Like, I'm probably still going to see this because it looks like the fighting is like the fight scenes are going to be crazy when he does get
some action. Man, let's be real, we're going to watch this because we have a job to do.
I watched Morbius mad late, bro. Like, I just watched Morbius,
bro. I saw Morbius in the not even in the movie theater. I saw it in Netflix, my barbershop, right? Yeah, I saw them. They were playing it in my barbershop as I was getting my haircut the other day. And bro,
you said it wasn't that bad, right?
From what I saw of it, it was kind of fucking ill. And I was like, this shit is kind of dope. I was kind of zeroed in on it a little bit.
It was giving 4-hour Justice League vibes to me, bro. I was just
it was too long?
No, I was like, what? I'm getting tired of this. I finished it and I'm like, all right. Yeah, it was another one, you know. Like,
I mean, I'll be real. I didn't even go back and like watch none of it. I didn't watch it after what I saw there. So knowing me, I probably saw what was probably the best part of the movie, I guess. Yeah. and I'm sure if I saw the other shit, I probably have the same reaction that I have for a Kraven. I'd probably be like, what is this piece of shit?
Right, man. And it's like we kind of grew up with the animated version of Kraven, you know, like with the heavy Russian accent and just, you know, ruthless.
Not Australian.
It's Australian? I thought it was Russian.
Bro, Kraven, doesn't he like have a thing with like kangaroos or shit? Like, there's something with, I think it's Australian. Hold up. Russian. Yeah, you're right. It is Russian. His name is Sergei Dmitry. Kravenoff.
Like, Russell Crowe is playing his pops in the movie, and he has a super heavy accent in the trailer. But then, you know, the kid that's playing Aaron Taylor Johnson, who's playing Kraven, bro, he sound like somebody from South Texas. Like, you know, I'm like, what is this? Where's his accent at? Like, that's one thing that he's known for in my brain from the cartoons, right? And then the other thing that was really weird is like the way, first off, he got attacked by like a freaking G virus lion, all right? This lion was huge and somehow he survived. And the blood of the lion got into the blood, a cut on Kraven, and now he has powers. I'm like, wait a minute now. Like, that is not anywhere near.
Yeah, hold on a second. Yo, and that's what I'm saying. Bro, Kraven doesn't have fucking powers.
Well, he has powers, but it's through a serum that he gets from Calypso, I think her name is. He drinks a serum.
Enhanced physical attributes, expert martial artist and hand-to-hand combat, master tactician, hunter, tracker, and observer, mastery of various weapons and equipment.
Yeah, like he
nothing like says this. Magic if, there.
Like, if he did not take, if he doesn't take the serum, he could still whoop your ass. Like, that's a fact. But with the serum that he takes, that Calypso gives him, who's also in the movie, that she gives him, it enhances it a lot. So he's almost just as like powerful as like Captain America. You know what I'm saying? Like he's pretty much on that level. With the serum, without it, he can still rock people's jaws like no issue. So it's just, I don't know, man. They just took a lot of liberties and changed a lot of things. But this is just a trailer that we're seeing. Obviously, you know, we don't know how the movie's gonna go, but from the trailer, this looks like it's gonna be real weird. And he's an anti-hero, it seems like. It's giving anti-hero vibes.
I mean,
and
that's what me and you both didn't want. Yeah. I mean, I thought, like, look, bro, I thought it was going to be, like, Kraven fucking wreaking havoc on people. And instead, it's Kraven wreaking havoc on people as a good guy.
That's, yeah. Like, I was really hoping that somebody was going to be hiring him to hunt down, like, Venom or something. You know what I'm saying? Maybe not Spider-Man, but you know, he's a, you know, an expert hunter. Like that's what he does. Like, so I was hoping he was getting hired to cut down some heads. I mean, Rhino is supposed to be in this, which you can kind of see his arm like transforming into Rhino's skin. But I was really hoping that they were going to find a way to start bringing some of these movies together and maybe doing it with this one. But you know, Sony, man, they play too many games, man. One minute they're like, yo, we got this. The next minute is like, hey, guys, go check this out. We did something cool. And we're like, nah, yo, that ain't it. Yo. That ain't it. So we'll see. But let's get to the big ticket, quick hit, man. Secret Invasion. Holy shit.
Just hold up. Spoiler.
I'm sorry. I forgot I warned y'all last week, but let me warn y'all again. This is definitely a spoiler review of Secret Invasion. If you haven't seen it by now, I'm sure you're mad because it's probably been spoiled way before we got to it. First off, Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury. He's back with the OG beard. You know, no patch on the eye. You know, he just looks mad cool. I ain't going front.
Yeah, man, they gave him the Fetty Wap.
Yeah. Oh man, my boy ain't right. Oh man, yeah, but that's a fact. Yeah. That's a fact. Oh shit.
See, the comic book, they stay biting Jersey, yeah.
Word. They can't help it, yo.
Yeah.
So what'd you think of it, man? What'd you think of the episode, bro? What'd you like? Did you not like anything? What'd you feel?
Kind of got slow. I mean, kind of a little towards the end, but the end was really good, so it kind of really made up for that. Everything around it is good. The storyline seems to be brilliant.
Yeah.
We were introduced to our bad guy right away.
Right off the bat.
Yeah, good looking Englishman. You know what I mean? Drake's little cousin. Black Englishman. Yeah, Drake's little cousin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Good. Yeah. You know, coming for your head, top boy. He was good, man. Everything was cool. The only thing that I'm kind of like over is the random people getting shot and then turning into Skrull.
Yeah.
I feel like if they're gonna do the series and keep doing that during the series, that shit is gonna get very fucking annoying.
I think it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
I think that's the point, Kay. I don't think they want you to know. I think they want you to be like saying, oh, what? Like every time one gets revealed. Because I definitely was like that with my man from Black Panther in the beginning. Like I was not expecting him to be a Skrull. I was like, wait a minute, what?
When he missed the fucking building, I was like, this motherfucker is a Skrull.
Yeah, once he hit the ground,
I was like,
what's his name? I'm trying to think of his name real quick. agent. Oh, Everett K. Ross. Everett K. Ross. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Everett K. Ross. So yeah, once he was revealed, I was just like, well, the door is open for anybody at this point. Like, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, basically the last, I guess, before Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, we saw him in Wakanda Forever. So it's like, damn, all right, well, who else is gonna be a Skrull at this point? So I really like, I do like that. I do like not knowing what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like a good mm-hmm. demonstration of that was, like you said, at the end of the movie, but not the very, very the last part that happened, but when the light-skinned dude was walking around
uh-huh. in
the crowd and he just kept changing from person to person. His name is Gravik. Oh man, that was crazy. Yeah. I was like, wow. Okay, so they're not really doing what the comic book did, but they're doing a nice spin on it. And I've seen a lot of people complaining, saying that the whole thing was like slow and blah, blah, blah. But it's like, man, what do y'all want? Yo, like, first, y'all don't want this, you know, too much comedy. Oh, it wasn't enough action. Oh, it's too much action. Oh, it's too sad. Oh, it's this. Like, what exactly are people looking for? Like, it's a first episode, it's supposed to set up everything that's going on. Yeah, so it's going to be a little slow. Like,
absolutely. It's establishing you know, itself. It's still, you know, like
what you said, still, things around it were good. There were some slow parts, I agree, but everything around it was perfect setup. And I think people were kind of like looking past that a little bit. You know, like, I didn't understand the complaints, man. And there's one complaint that I want to get to, but we'll keep talking about the show, the first episode of it. What'd you think? Do you, all right, because this, after I saw that Everett K. Ross could be a, well, that is a Skrull, I ain't gonna lie, man. I think Rhodey's a Skrull, bro.
I
think Rhodey's a Skrull, bro. He's walking a little bit too good. Because didn't he like break his whole damn back? You know what I'm saying? Like, he got too much pep in his step, you know? Yeah. So I think he might be a Skrull. I think most of the
people. But the thing I want to know is, was dude a Skrull in Black Panther?
Everett K. Ross?
Yeah, or was that really him?
Yo, I don't know. We don't know. That's the thing, we don't know. Like,
and remember, wasn't he given like vibranium and all that too?
Bro, he's been involved in Wakanda since. And you know what's crazy is Samuel Jackson said in an interview, and I never thought about this, but Nick Fury has never been to Wakanda. Why is that?
Not even in the comics?
Maybe in the comics, but in the MCU. He was like, I'm a little bit pissed off about that because as a black man, why have I not been to Wakanda yet?
Yo, that's weird. That's a great point. That is weird.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. He obviously has all the connections to all these different Skrulls, and he even like made a couple of points with Talos, and I feel like their friendship is going to be tested in this series. Because, you know, Nick Fury had to put one of the Skrulls down right there while Talos was fighting him, but he was getting his ass whooped anyway. But he didn't want that to happen. Like, he didn't want Nick Fury to put him down. So I have a feeling that there's going to be a beef there at some point. The crazy part was definitely at the end, though, man. How did you feel about the way the episode ended with our brains being all messed up on the shooter?
Yeah, nah, man, that was crazy. Yeah,
Nick Fury. What's his name?
Nick Fury. Yeah, Nick Fury. Watching Nick Fury, pop someone.
Yeah, killing his best friend essentially. Yo, like probably the only person that he could really trust, Maria Hill. I didn't see that coming at all, bro. Like, I thought she was gonna be involved in this at least the whole season. So that was very like, whoa, okay, she's been around for a while in the MCU and got taken out. But basically the guy Gravik, who is a Skrull, he shapeshifted into Nick Fury and suckered Maria Hill to him, and he shot and killed her right there. after these dudes blowing up stuff in you know, in a random market. So it was crazy, man. I really enjoyed it. I like the realness to it, like the real feel to it. We're not like in outer space right now. Like, we're right here, boots on the ground type of show, you know.
Yeah.
Little spy espionage situation going on. So I think it was a very good first episode. The one thing that I was a little pissed off about was something that Marvel did that a lot of people were, well, MCU did that a lot of people were pissed off about, was they used a AI to create the opening of the show, like the opening credits. They used the AI to do that. And I thought that that was funny. I thought that was actually really cool that they did that, because people are so afraid of AI taking over, right? AI is replacing us in certain areas, in music and art, you know, certain jobs are being taken over by AI that people haven't really talked about, you know, much lately, but like those self-checkout lanes, that's AI, man, that's AI technology. So it's like all of these things that are kind of like taking over the world a little bit in certain spaces, that's AI. And the scrolls can almost represent AI right now, you know, yeah, in this show, because they're trying to replace the humans, you know, they're trying to get us the fuck out of here. And we don't notice that they're walking amongst us, you know, slowly but surely taking over. So the fact that they use the AI generated opening credits, thought that was actually pretty funny. I ain't even mad at him for that. I was like, that's actually kind of funny and actually kind of smart, and a good way to showcase like the scrolls are taking over, y'all. Like, the AI is taking over. Unfortunately, we got to find a way to defeat it. So I think that's kind of what
we're gonna... I didn't see it like that.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't notice it like that. I didn't think of it like that. I didn't even know that was an AI thing that they were doing.
Yeah, people were pissed off about it. I thought, I was like, man, y'all get mad about anything. No, that's just comic book entertainment fans at this point. They just get pissed off about everything and anything. But yeah, man, I'm in. I haven't felt this good about a MCU show probably since Falcon and Winter Soldier and WandaVision.
Not even Miss Marvel?
I keep forgetting about Miss Marvel. Yeah, I really like Miss Marvel. So yeah, okay. So this is the fourth.
Yeah, I remember. I always forget about it. Enjoyed the shit out of Miss
Marvel. Yeah, I always forget about Miss Marvel. And that was really good. I really like that. She did a great job, yo. So yeah, so this, I haven't felt this way since Miss Marvel. Yeah, yeah. It was a good feel. Good feel. So, but yeah, man, we'll definitely talk about it, you know, episode two next week. It's still coming on Wednesdays, right? It's not going to change. Like, it wasn't just like
still Wednesday. Wednesday.
Like, I hope it wasn't just like a one-time Wednesday drop. Like, don't do that. Nah, keep it on Wednesday. I like it in the middle of the week.
But I like it too. But I think it's perfect, because think about it, man. That should get you geeked up to want to, you know, go to the comic book store. Right. You know what I'm saying? You want to go. Like, I remember when fucking Subway, man, had the shit with the Guardians of the Galaxy, man, the cups and all of that.
I remember going to
Subway. I would make Subway my Wednesday thing. Nice. You know what I mean? I'd go get the cup and, you know, go get the comics and all that shit and be geeked up about it. So, I mean, that should inspire people to want to go to the comic book store more, I feel like. And I think that's awesome that, you know, it makes Wednesday comic book day. You know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, keep it on. Don't put no new shows on any other day but Wednesday, MCU. Keep it that way. You know, forever, how long you're going to be doing the shows on Disney Plus. But, yeah, man, we can take a quick break right here, man. We'll come back with Reads of the Week. I got a cool story for you guys as far as, you know, picking up some comic books and stuff. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Kay's got a pretty dope book. We'll get into that when we come back. So yeah, you guys sit tight, go get yourself something to drink, something to snack on, anything like that. And we'll be right back after this. What's going on, guys? It's your host, Amir, aka the Magic Man, aka the Black Podcaster, with a 6, not a B. Listen, me and the crew really appreciate you guys tuning in on Monday, Wednesdays, and Saturdays, but we really need you guys to hit that subscribe button and like, share, leave a comment, all that good stuff, man. Let us know that you're tuning in. Let us know if we're doing good, or even let us know if we're doing bad. It all matters to us. But make sure you hit that subscribe button to the 1 in 100 podcast. It's available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Audible. Okay, so hit that subscribe button. We're going to keep on growing, keep on rocking, and we're going to keep it 100. Now let's get back to the show. And we are back. You're listening to the 1 in 100 podcast. We are your host, the Ciabatta Boys, and this is Reads of the Week. This is when we have an opportunity to talk about some books that we read, whether it be new books or books from back in the day, just something dope that we feel like you guys should know about. I got a bunch of shit over here that I'm probably going to do like half-ass reviews on just so we can get through it. But we always let Kay kick it off in here, man. Kay, what you got for us, brother?
All right, man. I got from 1976, The Incredible Hulk, King Size Annual number 5.
Nice.
Yeah, man. So this is the second appearance of Groot of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
He has more of a very astounded vocabulary, you know what I'm saying, than this. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not saying, I am Groot. Yeah, that is not your Groot. This is not that Groot. You know, so the story starts off, man. It's first off, it was written by Claremont, which is like pretty much like...
Yeah,
I was like, once I saw Claremont on there, I was like, ah, man, here we go, Marvel mouth over here, man. You know, and surprisingly enough, the dialogue is not dialogue-y. So anyway, man, so it starts off where there's like an army that's after the Hulk, and the army ends up stopping their crusade on them, and we get you know, these 6 foes here. So these are all like, for some reason, I guess they decided to cross these like monster books that Marvel used to do. It was like a book called Fear, where they would do like these like horror stories in it, yeah. And they would have these monsters in it, and that was kind of the world Groot was part of.
Gotcha.
So boom, man. Yeah, man. So there's a mysterious figure that's looking at a screen, that's looking at the Hulk, and he's sending these 6 foes. So he ends up sending Groot. Blip, which is like an electric force thing. Diablo, which is mud. No, Taboo the Terrible, which is mud. Diablo, monster from Dimension X. But the figure ends up being, at the end, it ends up being Zemnu, the Living Titan. Yeah, so it's just all like pretty much after one foe after the other, man.
Yeah.
You know, the Hulk ends up beating all of them, and it ends up fighting this guy at the end. So it says 6 foes, but it's really, it's 7 chapters in it. So to me, it made me think that it was like 7 people in it, but no, it's actually really 6. Yeah, so I thought that was like a misprint, but it's not. But yeah, man, no, this is interesting, man. I remember just buying this off of the wall. I just remember, you know, this was during that time that the Guardians of the Galaxy movie was coming out. So anything that I could get, whether it was a first appearance, a second appearance, or anything, and I could get it for the low, I was grabbing it. And I remember I bought this for like $20.
Oh, shit. Okay.
I remember being on my way to work in Target and buying it and taking it with me and fucking working and being like excited for lunch because I knew I was going to fucking crack that shit open. So, man.
Yeah.
Fucking miss those days, man.
Yeah.
I miss those days when I was wet behind the ears, you know, and you know what I'm saying? And everything was a new discovery. And it was always like, this is incredible. Oh, my God. What else did this person do?
Yep.
You know, and you just fall down the rabbit hole. I miss falling down the rabbit hole.
Yeah, I'm currently doing that right now with a trade that I picked up. But before we get to that, you were talking about Incredible Hulk. There's a new number 1 out right now, written by Philip Kennedy Johnson, And the art is by Nick Klein. And everything you were talking about, the monsters going after the Incredible Hulk, that's actually what's happening in this story as well.
Wow.
It's very interesting.
That's crazy. Very serendipitous how this happened.
Yeah.
This isn't even coordinated.
Not planned at all, people. Actually, this wasn't even a book on my pull list, but I love the cover by Scotty Young. It's just really dope. He's got like Bruce Banner getting ready to Hulk out, and it's kind of like, you know, cartoonish or whatever. You know how Scotty Young does. But I picked it up because I was hearing a lot of people saying the artwork was amazing. I mean, look at this Hulk, bro.
Yo, that's dope.
Yeah.
Like, that's different.
Yeah, I'll
be real, man. I don't really like take to the Hulk stories because they're always just kind of like smash fight. I don't want to be the Hulk no more.
Leave me the hell alone. Yeah.
I'm going to cry. Banner,
I can't control him.
And I got sand in my vagina.
All that's in here, bro. Bruce Banner is basically, you know, he's a punk ass. And the Hulk is telling him, though. The Hulk is talking to him like, yeah, you a bitch type of shit. I kind of like it. But it's taking it into a more of a monsters.
Yeah. You know what I think is really corny and I think needs to stop in comic books? We need to stop having the hero fighting with being a hero thing. Yeah. That trope needs to stop. But also the fucking, you know, the sickness or, you know, the symbiote or whatever, that talking to them shit needs to stop.
Fair enough. See, I haven't read a Venom story in a long time, and this is really like, it's the first, you know, Hulk book that I've gotten kind of like, this might be all right. I'm probably still gonna get it in trade for him once it comes out, but I just thought it was interesting that you were talking about the monsters getting set loose to go after the Hulk, and that's kind of how the end of this story goes. They call this lady the eldest one or something like that, and at the end of the book, like, she's calling all of the monsters to basically go after the Hulk. So it's pretty cool, and there's a young girl at the end of the story who seems like she might be some type of monster as well. And she's following the Hulk at the end of the book, and he kind of looks at her like, what the fuck are you doing here type of look. So I really enjoyed that. I thought that was a really cool story. Some of the other books that I picked up, I read Cyborg. I like it. I'm digging it. Morgan Hampton is doing a good job with his first like big time story. Basically, Cyborg is going to be going against AI technology. You know, somebody
I'm gonna go grab those now.
Yeah, somebody created some stuff going on. His father is dead, but his father is not dead. We'll just keep it like that. I don't want to spoil too much of his story, but it's really good. And the dialogue between him and his dad in this story are really good. And the only thing that I don't like, and I'll be honest with y'all, man, I'm not liking the artwork for the story. Because the cover, this is what the cover looks like. You know, that's cover A as well. And when you get in the pages, it don't look nothing like this. Like, I'm like, so that kind of hurt a little bit.
What does it look like? Wait. Let me see what it looks like.
The artwork on the cover or in the book?
In the book.
Oh, okay. Give me a second. You know what I'm saying? Like, it don't look like my man's in them, yo. Like, on the cover.
It looks basic, but it looks high.
Yeah. Like, the best art, honestly, in the book is in this part where this girl has a YouTube show. Her name is Estelle Green, and the show is called Do Better Detroit. And she's just like, she's like Charlemagne. Who else? She's like Star. She's like all the YouTube pundits that just talk shit on YouTube all day about what's going on in the world. Like, and then if you read the comments are funny as shit. So, I mean, I really enjoy the writing. That the writing is definitely keeping this on my pull list. I'll tell you a story after we get off, because honestly, I really shouldn't be reading this book no more. But, you know, I'm gonna support the young brother. We'll talk about it afterwards. The other story I picked up real quick was Miles Morales, number 7. This is still that whole Carnage Reign storyline. But I'm going to say this, man. Cody Ziegler is just a goddamn good writer. He's a good writer. I don't care about this crossover at all. I'm a Miles fan, but Cody Ziegler is writing the shit out of this story in his book. Like, he has to connect it, obviously, to what's going on in this crossover, but he's keeping me like, okay, I know what's kind of going on a little bit, but just his writing and the way he writes Miles's voice is perfect. I love it, man. So yeah, I got the Miles has a new suit in this book at the end of it, so he gets a little help from an Avenger. You can kind of put one and one together for that one. And then yeah, other than that, I mean, that's pretty much what I read. So a lot of good books. I read Teen Titans as well. That was pretty good. They played the shit out of everybody with that one, though. So if you got issue two, you know what I'm talking about. They did a death in issue one, and now issue two, it's not a death. So that was crazy. Ultimate Invasion was also really good. Hickman surprised me. I thought he was going to be doing a whole lot of extra pages of essays in there, but he didn't. He got right to the point. And I hope that this means that the Ultimate Universe is coming back, because if it is, I like where it's going. I like where it's going. So I did get some cool books in the mail. I got the Wakanda Black Panther cover with Howard the Duck on there. He's saying Wakanda forever. Sanford Green, you're my guy. I finally got the Killadelphia issue 30 second print. I got these both from Midtown Comics. I don't know what happened with my books, with the Killadelphia book here, but I got it now. So no worries. I got it, people. I got it. And then I had 30 first print.
Okay.
I ain't have second print. Oh, because it's got Spawn on the cover. They changed the cover. So remember, issue 30 has Spawn in it at the end.
Right.
Spawn wasn't on the cover on the first print. It's like a whole different couple of images up there above Seesaw, but now him and Seesaw, or Spawn and Seesaw, gonna be working together. So they switched the cover up. So yeah, I had to get that because, you know, Spawn's in a totally different book that he's not the lead person on. But yeah. All right, so before we get out of Rezo, we can get to the big topic of the day. I discovered a store, okay? It's called Ollie's. I think there's Ollie's in Jersey. And I went there because of a fellow comic book collector, BJ Kicks, and also JT. He told me about it. And they have discount books there, trades, brand new, for $3.99, or maybe like between $3.99 and like maybe like $7 or whatever. So I actually got volume 2 and 3 of the new 52 Scott Snyder run. Remember, I did a review for volume 1, so I was able to get volume 2 and 3, both of them, for $3.99 each. And the book by itself is like $18 or something like that, brand new, like at a comic book shop, and I got it for $3.99. So I'm enjoying it. It's a very interesting read. I didn't know Batman had a brother. I don't know if he's actually his real brother or not, but he was whooping Bruce's ass in this book as well so far. He's been getting his ass whooped a lot. Maybe Scott Snyder doesn't like Bruce Wayne. I don't know. Because literally the last book he got his ass whooped, he getting his ass whooped in this book too. Love it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's Reads of the Week, man. Hopefully you guys are able to get to your comic book shops and pick up some dope reads.
I definitely gotta, like, you gotta tell me next time you go to Ollie's, man. You gotta like FaceTime.
Yeah.
But there's some good shit.
Yeah,
I'll definitely send you some cash, bro. I'll send you some loot, bro. Yeah,
I gotta ask James where the one is by him, because he has an Ollie's by him as well. But
wait, where does he live? Where's he living now?
He's in like Central Jersey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's about an hour away.
Yo, yeah, like Central Jersey. Yo, Central Jersey and like South Jersey,
where I'm from originally,
is a gold mine, bro.
Yeah. See, the thing is, I've actually never, I wasn't collecting comics when I was living in South Jersey, and I found some good stuff there. I wish I was actually living there at the time, but I have found some good books there in the past when I've gone like to see my mom and dad and stuff. But yeah, he's gotten a lot of Power Man and Iron Fist books from the shops around him in Central Jersey.
Like Oh, like the older ones?
Yeah, because he's working on that. He's found a lot of good stuff, like in good condition too. And the dude doesn't really, I don't think he really knows much about Power Luke Man Cage. Iron Fist. So,
yeah. They probably don't even care. They're like, cool, right. Get this black shit out of here.
Exactly. So, yeah. So, James is getting some good prices on a lot of the stuff that he's been finding from him. So, yeah, he's been getting some good stuff.
I mean, besides like the really older stuff, I mean, the older stuff is what really kind of fetches. I can't think those books are.
They're not like dirt cheap. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But he's getting good prices for him.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But I mean, what's his like most expensive issue? Probably. I think it'll probably can't what, be
Power Man.
From that first run, like that first run on. I mean, besides number one, I know number one. Yeah. Super duper expensive. But I'm talking about like the rest of that run. Like, is the run that crazy like that? That's what I want to know. Like, is it prices?
Honestly, I would have to bring James on here and let him rant about it.
I wish we could tap him in right now. That's a good conversation.
Hell yeah.
We need to do something random one day, yo. Like, yo, let's just get beers, yo, and just talk about some shit, and we can just geek out for like an hour, man. And I'm sure people would love that. Hell yeah, man. I'm sure people would love that.
I'm definitely with it. I wish we all lived near each other so we can go to a Comic-Con. That would be even fun.
Bruh, that's what I'm saying.
You know?
Yo, I think we got to coordinate that. I got to coordinate that sometime next year, man. Because I got to, I definitely got to coordinate that one time where we all just, like, probably do something in, like, Dallas or Austin or something.
Right. That Dallas Fan Expo a couple weeks ago, that joint was popping, apparently.
Something that played Raekwon was there and Spider and Miles.
Shameik Moore. Yep.
Shameik Moore. Yeah. I was going to be like, yeah, Shamar Moore. It's not Shamar. It's Shameik.
Shameik Moore. Yeah.
Yeah. That's wild.
But speaking of conventions, man, you want to get into this last topic before we get out of here? We're getting into this breakdown?
So introduce it, man. And let's, all right. We can go from there, man. Yeah.
So apparently, the MCU has officially announced that they will not be attending the San Diego Comic-Con 2023 and they won't be in Hall H. So, obviously people that are big fans of the MCU, they've been going a little crazy about this. They're a little, I guess they're like halfway upset, but I think they understand because last week we announced all the delays and everything that were coming and all the setbacks and stuff. So, I mean, it kind of makes sense. They pretty much had their Hall H already. They announced everything. there's nothing else happening.
Man, I'm seeing this as kind of a gift and a curse. Because remember, the last time they were in Hall H, man, they're announcing Blade. They're announcing, they were going announcement crazy.
They was in Hall H last year. Then they announced Fantastic Four, the whole everything that they just delayed.
Mm-hmm.
They announced all this shit just last year.
Yeah. Done.
So, Fantastic Four, Avengers, Kang Dynasty, Secret Wars. Like, they was rambling them off, bro. And now we're here, and they're not even going to be attending at all.
But like I said, like, gift and a curse, right?
Yeah.
Because, they don't need to do it anymore. They don't need the whole Hall H thing anymore.
Right.
They were doing that to probably help the conventions and shit. But like now they don't have to do that anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And at this point,
do they need it for?
And then also, the curse of it is, number one, this gives DC the leeway to control.
James Gunn got to blow this shit up, bro.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When has DC ever controlled Hall H or a convention? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They've never been the primary focal point of the convention. You know what I mean? It's always been Marvel. I don't care what
they've announced. They've announced some good stuff. But no matter what, they have not been able to compete with the MCU in Hall H. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So hold on. Let's dive into one of those things that you were talking about here. You were saying like, you know, the gift and the curse situation. Do you think this affects Marvel in the long run with fans, or like, do you think they'll ever go back to San Diego Comic-Con or New York Comic-Con?
I mean, they may, man. You know, they you know, at the end of the day, man, they can't fully, you know, alienate themselves from something that brought them to the dance. You know what I mean? You know, they can't just ignore that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they have to return. Obviously, you know, I'm sure when they set everything right in motion, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, they probably got no trailers to show. They're like, why are we gonna promote, you know, movies that are being pushed back right now?
Like, the only thing they have really is the Fantastic Four. That's what the world wants to know. Like, everybody really wants to know who the Fantastic Four cast is gonna be. But do you really need to go to Hall H to do that? You know what I'm saying? Like, when you're ready to do it, you can kind of do it at your own Disney Plus day or Disney D23 or whatever it's called. You know, they still have that, I believe. I don't think that's done with. So,
we got to figure out how to get to these. We can do one.
But I mean, like, it is my goal to go to San Diego Comic-Con at least one time.
I've never been myself.
And once I go to that, I'll probably retire from conventions. Like, I won't need to go anymore. I can just go to small ones and just look through for books. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I've been to
New York Comic Con a bunch of times.
I do not mind a good VFW comic book show, bro.
Yeah.
I will not ignore the opportunity to dig at
So that would be really the only conventions I would go to. So I do want to go to that one. But so, you know, you were talking about the, you know, the plus for DC. Now, we know that Marvel just announced all their delays, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think James Gunn and, you know, Kevin Feige, because apparently they're like really, really, really good friends. Do you think he was just like, hey, James, listen, man. we just delayed everything. We have a couple of things that we can announce, but I know you guys are trying to get some money. I know you guys are trying to get your situation together. We're going to sit this one out and y'all go ahead and run the table. You know what
you think? You think Kevin Feige just distinguished his pimp hands, bro? Like, fire extinguished that thing?
I don't think so, bro.
I don't think so, bro. Like, yo, like, Kevin Feige, you know, has six rings, man. You know, he's six ring Jordan.
He can get six more if he wants to.
He's already scored 100 points. Like Wilt Chamberlain. Like,
but James Gunn is like his son, yo. Like, he gave James Gunn a big chance.
He's just like, yo, you know what? He took a Cena piss break, man, a John Cena piss break, man, and gave somebody gave an opportunity. That's what I'll say what it is, man.
James Gunn did admit to saying that. He said that he called Kevin Feige, like, when he put the, you know, the pen to the paper, like, he let him know, like, this is what was going to be happening. But when he officially inked his deal to be the CEO, he's like, he called Kevin Feige, like, that was the first person he called, and basically thanked him for everything that he's done for him in his career. And they're like literally best friends, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know, man. I feel like, you know, Kevin Feige's like, listen, we ain't got shit cracking right now. We could go there and announce a few things, you know, just talk to the people, but y'all go ahead and rock on. Nah,
son, I think the other thing, too, the other part of what I was going to say also is, bro, they do not want to face the backlash, and they do not want to get questions that they do not have answers to right now.
Yeah, like with Jonathan Majors
son, these motherfuckers already know that they're not gonna go do that, because that is a fucking PR nightmare, bro.
Yeah,
that would be a PR
nightmare. They don't need that right now. Yeah,
they're like, nah. Yo, you could thank Jonathan Majors for that. think John's
when is San Diego Comic-Con? Is that in August or September?
That's, isn't it usually like,
is, I know it's before, I always, it's before it, New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
New York Comic Con is in October.
So I always thought it was like July. Like
it could be. Somewhere. It could be. It could be around the corner. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. Jonathan Majors going to court in August. So you know damn well those are gonna be questions for sure for Kevin Foggy.
Yeah, bro. Especially about with all it, the bro. Delays. And then they're gonna be like, what the fuck is up with the delays? They don't wanna answer that, bro. They wanna fucking bro.
And there's projects out there that they still haven't even talked about. Like I haven't heard nothing about the Riri Williams series for Disney Plus. Like I haven't heard nothing. And that movie, I mean, that show has been shot and done. So I don't know what's going on with that. So they got like you said, they got a lot of questions and stuff that people are going to want answers to, and they don't have it right now. So also,
think about it. They're going to have a couple of people. Bunch of mad Puerto Ricans asking what's up with the Bad Bunny movie.
But you know that's Sony. That's Sony. They can pass that one off to Sony.
We don't own
Spider-Man. Hey, we don't own him. That's Sony. Go over there. Shuffle on that, man.
Imagine they're like, yo, what's up with this Craven movie? This giant piece of shit.
Yeah, they'll hit all the negative.
Yeah,
stuff,
yeah, yeah. Sure. They don't want to answer none of that.
So let me ask you this, man. Do you think this could them not going right? Do you think this could also be like maybe conventions are finally starting to come back down to earth a little bit? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like they don't have like Star Wars, for example. Star Wars has their own Star Wars event that they do where they announce stuff. Disney now has theirs. DC was having their own thing, but I think they stopped doing it because all that shit was just everything's just going to shit right now for DC. They really have to make some money. Like they're about to go broke for us. But do you think like this might start making conventions kind of like settle down a little bit? Because if these were the big reasons why people wanted to go to New York Comic Con, wanted to go to San Diego Comic Con, because they knew the stars were going to be coming out. But if that's not something that's going to happen anymore, you think we might be going back to the old days of the conventions where it's just like books,
comic books,
artists, writers, a couple of celebrities in booths, you know what I'm saying? Like things like that. And all this Hall H stuff might, you know, start, you know, scaling.
I mean, what is the big ticket item at you know, San Diego Comic-Con now? There's no Hall H for Marvel. So obviously that leaves DC to do something. But remember, DC already announced their stuff already.
They announced, but they haven't announced a new Superman yet. Like, I'm telling you, if...
But I'm saying...
They haven't announced any cast. This is what usually with those Hall H's.
But they haven't even... They haven't even shot anything yet.
Nope, but they got... If they have cast, they can bring them on the stage, man. I mean, Marvel has done that. Haven't been filmed, haven't been written, but they've announced cast, you know? And we already know what they're lining up. You know what I'm saying? We know what DC is doing. So that's what I'm saying. Like, if James Gunn wants to get some of this old DC crust off of him right now, like the best way to do that is to get the people hyped by showing us who is going to be in these roles. We need to see Superman. We need to see who Batman is going to be. We need to see who Robin's going to be now. Who are the Green Lanterns? Like, you got to go all out. You might as well just blow the roof off. It's your day. It is going to be your day.
Yeah.
Nobody else is going to interrupt it.
It is. Yeah, because let's say DC doesn't take the Hall H, then what the fuck is going to be the point of going to San Diego Comic-Con? These are the things that people... These are the things that, for the most part, have been driving the price of San Diego Comic-Con.
Yep.
It's a, you know... Bro,
no offense to the cosplayers, but I don't think people are going there just to see cosplayers. You know what I'm saying? And San Diego Comic-Con is some of the best.
Yo, you know my opinion of cosplayers. Them motherfuckers don't buy nothing. They just walk around all day. They don't buy shit. They don't buy nothing.
A lot of them work all year just to show off at San Diego Comic-Con. And then the rest of everybody shows off at New York Comic-Con. But ain't nobody going there just for that. You know what I'm saying? Like, ain't nobody buying tickets just to go see cosplay other cosplayers. Like, that's not what we doing. So, but I mean, we already know DC will be there, and this is going to be their time to shine. Lord knows they need it, at least this moment.
Maybe show us, maybe they'll probably give us something with Blue Beetle, you know what I'm saying?
That's yeah, good, give us a little time for that. Yep. Because Blue Beetle comes out in August, I think.
Remember, he's canon, so.
Yeah. Hey, yo, before we get out of here, I just want to hit this real quick. That's it. That's all we got for San Diego Comic-Con. James Gunn, you better blow the roof off, pretty much. Kevin Foggy pretty much just threw up the beautiful lob off the glass. If you don't slam dunk this joint and break the glass,
basically.
Bro, ain't nothing helping you at this point. So, before we get out of here, I had to say this because I heard about this today. The kid that's going to be playing Blue Beetle, he said that it's always been in the plans for Blue Beetle to be a trilogy. Like, that's what he said he heard from the directors and stuff like that. Their plan has always been for it to be a trilogy. Do you think, before we go now, DC has not made any money? Their movies have been flopping left and right. All right, Flash was a $200 million movie. It made $55 million in the opening weekend. I don't know how much Blue Beetle can make.
The only thing I could say is, man, I'm sorry. Did I interrupt you?
No. Go ahead.
Okay. Man, this is the only DC movie that's really been James Gunn approved.
Yeah, because you know this was actually supposed to be a straight to streaming movie. So I don't know if he came in. I don't remember the exact timing of how it went, because he's only been the CEO for 5 months, maybe. So I don't know exactly when he came in, but this was supposed to go to HBO Max off the bat, and then I guess they saw that they had something where they could actually put this in the theaters. So I don't remember if that was part of him, but I know he did say he already gave it the stamp. Like, we could possibly see Jaime Reyes in other DC movies going forward. Like, he is canon. The first canon movie is Superman Legacy. The first canon character is Blue Beetle. That's what he said. So, but a trilogy? You think they can get a trilogy out of it?
I mean, didn't Flash get three?
Flash who?
The Flash movies.
Nah, that's the only Flash movie he had. Hell no.
That's
he
it?
No damn trilogy.
They made it seem
he's
like...
Been in he was in Justice League. That was it. I think he might have been a pop-up or something. Justice League was only one, but they did... The Flash series. Yeah, that's a different guy, which is the guy who should have been the Flash, but we'll save that for another day.
I get it. So wait. So that 4-hour fracas that this guy put out was the first time we ever saw Flash in the movies?
Yes.
That sucks. Wow.
Yeah, and this will be the last time we see Ezra Miller, at least, as the Flash. But, I mean, James Gunn hasn't even announced anything as far as Flash being his plans.
I mean, I wish the young Latino brother good luck, man. Good fortune. I hope this movie is good enough to get. I do have to say this though. That movie looks fucking good.
Hell yeah, we both know that. We both feel the same way about this. I think that movie's gonna be fun. That's what I would think that movie's gonna be. But in order for it to get a trilogy. Or at least that'd a sequel.
Really
at least
good.
A sequel. It has to be really, really good. Uh-huh. And it has to make some ciabatta, bro. Like, it can't be coming back with no 55. like it can't be coming back with 55 again.
But this is what I'm saying, though. Blue Beetle, is that even a popular character? Like, I'm being real.
In the animated world, yes, he is. He's been in Young Justice for 2 or 3 seasons. In the comic book community, where people, you know, the readers, people fucks with Jaime Reyes. Like, people fucks with him heavy. But that's about it. Like, you know, he has a niche, you know what I'm saying? Like, he has a niche audience, but the design that I'm seeing on big screen looks dope. And that's why I want to see it. It just looks dope. Let me before we go, let me just see how much was Blue Beetle made for. Let's see. Budget. Okay, so Blue Beetle, the budget for this movie was $120 million. That's how much it cost to get to make this movie. It cost Black Adam $260. It cost The Flash $200. Neither one of them got money back, really. I think Black Adam might have got like $300 million that it made. So they didn't really make no money on that. Opening weekend for Flash was $55 million. I don't know if they're gonna even get to $200 million. I'll be honest with you. So if Blue Beetle can make at least, man, I don't think it's making over $120 million, bro.
Yeah.
I don't think the audience is that big. I mean, this movie has to be phenomenal. You know what I'm saying? It's gotta be phenomenal to make over at least $140 million, $150 million, but come on now. I mean, Across Spider-Verse made $120 million his opening weekend.
Yeah.
You know?
Bruh. Man, I don't think the audience is there, bro. I think this may be DC's last flop.
Yeah.
I can't see Home Again trilogy. Maybe a second movie. Maybe a second movie.
Or at least maybe get put into another movie. You know what I'm saying?
Put him in something else. Definitely be in the Justice League Detroit movie. when they throw that on.
That's hilarious. Justice League Detroit. You know that's the name of the pod, right?
Justice League Detroit. Nah, bro, there is a storyline called Justice League Detroit.
I've never heard of it, but that shit is hilarious.
Bro, look it up. I think Blue Beetle might be in it. I think Blue Beetle is in that shit. Yeah.
Justice League Detroit. That is funny as hell. Oh yeah. Wow, it's a graphic novel too. We got Batman, that giant man, this giant man or Adam man or whatever his name is, Aquaman. Oh, is that Vixen? That might be Vixen. Martian Manhunter, and that Stretch. The guy, what's his name? What's the guy's name for DC? The Stretch guy.
I think it's Stretch.
Yeah, that's Stretch and Bobito.
So Blue Beetle ain't in that.
Might as well just put him in there. That's hilarious.
So we're gonna see, man.
Listen, we're gonna see how this goes. Because let me see when San Diego Comic Con is. It's the last Google situation here, people. Sorry. SD.
We freestyling this one. This is where good conversation.
Okay, all right. So it's July. You're right. July 20th to the 23rd. If James Gunn blows the roof off at San Diego Comic Con, he could possibly drive people to go see Blue Beetle. Possibly. But I think the kid that plays Jaime Reyes is going to have to end up on that stage somehow to show that he's a part of this universe, because I think people are kind of like, whatever, we'll wait until the James Gunn stuff starts. These movies ain't all that good anyway. We'll skip them. But I think if he brings him on stage and be like, this is my man's in them, go see the movie. It's good.
Throws his arm up like he just won a bout.
He might be able to drive some more tickets over there. I don't think it's going to go crazy where he can get a trilogy, but we might see him in other movies for sure. But Yeah, that's it, man. Let's get out of here, bro. Let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's do it, man.
We definitely
my phone's about to die anyway.
Yeah. Let's get out of here.
I'm on 4%, man. We riding the lightning.
For sure, for sure, man. But listen, man, if you are new to the podcast, as always, go hit that subscribe button. Go share it with your friends and family that are, you know, into the comic book community and things like that. Or if they just want to hear a dope podcast, come check out the 1 in 100 podcast for sure. I got to figure out how we're going to do this because I wanted to take a little break, you know what I'm saying, from this stuff for a little while, just give my brain some relaxation a little bit. But we might have to come back next week, Kay, just to review Secret Invasion. So we'll see. We'll talk about it. Well, maybe we'll do something on Instagram or something. I don't know. Yeah, that's it, man. We're going to get out of here. Kay, you got anything for the people?
I say, man, we come back. We got to do like a... keep just looking at things about San Diego Comic-Con and let's react to it, because there has to be some, bro. Hall H is not going to be empty this year, bro. There's no way.
Yeah, somebody got to step up other than DC to entertain the people. Maybe there'll be a return of Valiant Comics.
imagine
Bloodshot 2.
Boom
Ninjak. We out here. Or Ninja K, however you say it.
A Ninjak movie would be sick, bro.
It would be.
Up, man.
But all right, y'all. We out of here. Justice League Detroit, baby. We out.
Yeah.